You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with Dak Prescott. I have some unsolicited advice for Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Call Dak Prescott's bluff. Offer him $27 million a year and tell him he has until midnight Eastern to accept, or there will be no more contract negotiations in 2019 starting tomorrow. Dak and his agent Todd France have this whole contract dispute twisted. They think they're Russell Wilson and Ciara. They think they're in the driver's seat. Y'all remember in March, when Russ and Ciara channeled the rapper AMG and the singer Rihanna and told Seattle, Hawks better have my money. Y'all should know me well enough. Better have my money. Please don't call me on my bluff. You know why Russ and Rihanna can talk that way? Because if they ever hit the open market, there's going to be a long line of billionaires making it rain on them. That's not true for Dak Prescott. Based on what we've seen from Dak so far, there's no team in the NFL that would pay Dak $30 million a year. Not one. He has high value to the Cowboys, and that's it. Jerry needs to put an end to the Dak Prescott insanity. Yesterday, there were reports that Dak turned down $30 million a year and countered with a request of $40 million. I don't really buy the $40 million demand. The number may have been thrown out there as a negotiating tactic, but it's not a real demand. You know why $40 million is being floated? Because Jerry is refusing to play rough with Dak. The Cowboys don't want to undermine Dak's fragile confidence with the truth. He's yet to prove he's a top 10 quarterback, and until he does, talk of a $30 million a year contract is out of the question. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Jerry's here's what you need to do. Get your mind right. Tell your assistant to download Bobby Womack's classic song, If You Think You're Lonely Now. Womack was a football poet well ahead of his time. Jerry, you're dealing with a quarterback and an agent who are always complaining about what Russell Wilson got, what Aaron Rodgers got, what Dak ain't got. Dak thinks he's lonely now. Wait until the next offseason, Cowboy. Make Dak play this season under his existing contract. The worst thing that could happen is Dak has a phenomenal season and his market significantly escalates and the Cowboys are forced to pay him $36 to $38 million a year. That's a good problem. That means Dak will have shown himself to be a legit franchise quarterback. What's more likely to happen is Dak will once again be one of the 15 best quarterbacks in the league, and his free agent market will be around $25 million. If Dak wants to throw a tantrum and leave Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and one of the league's most talented defense, let him go and draft a rookie with more upside. Dak ain't never going to find another owner who treats him better than Jerry Jones. All right, joining the desk now is former NFL head coach Eric Mangini, the NFL Network's Bucky Brooks. Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Should the Cowboys make Dak play out his existing contract?
No. Plan A should be walk up to Dak Prescott, say, look, I'm going to give you a dollar more than Carson Wentz. We happy? We settle? This over? And we'll see how that goes. Plan B, in consequence, if plan A doesn't go as desired, is you land where you are, which is, okay, I'm going to have to roll the dice. Because right now I have a perception issue with you, Dak. You have to understand, as an owner who's doing you a favor because you're still under contract, you have to make me eager. You have to make me willing to sign this contract before I have to. And the problem with the public's reception of Dak is that they perceive him as not as a franchise quarterback. You can look at a Carson Wentz, who's won from this fusion of what Nick Foles did twice in the playoffs and the Super Bowl win, and what the Eagles have won, and use that along with his MVP candidacy before injury and parlay that into a $32 million a year deal. Dak is like, y'all know the devil's in the details. Please stop flying so high in this conversation. They dig deep into what I've done in terms of my record and my statistics that are better than Carson Wentz. And the public is too lazy to dive into those details. And Jerry is the good cop and Steven's the bad cop, and they're just gonna keep this at bay right now. But plan B is what you said, but plan A is a dollar more than Wentz.
Let me ask you this. Let's say there's a car dealer that's sitting out there. You know what, I got a Ford Explorer and it's better than the Mercedes. And I can show you the details. Mm. The details, the better gas mileage, blah, blah, blah. If you needed service, blah, blah, blah. And then the market's the market.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, if he's out on the market, can get $32 million. Mm. Dak can't. Only Dallas would be dumb enough to pay that.
Can I mess with your example just a little more?
Yeah.
I'd rather hear Lexus, because day one Lexus, they were comparing it to Mercedes. I ain't buying no Toyota. Oh, how did that turn out? Lexus is all right now, right? At a lesser value. But you give me Ford, it's going to be difficult. I hear you.
So, look, here's the conversation that we have to have with Dak Prescott, because everyone is appalled that he may be in the $30 million range. What you have to look at, the franchise tag, the exclusive level is at $33 million. If he signs it again, it goes up 120%. So we're going to put him at like $36 million. So the conversation has to start at $69 million guaranteed. And then when you talk about his draft mate, Carson Wentz, Carson Wentz is at $32.5 million, which is why it's like the price is right. You're right. I need $1 more than Carson Wentz at a minimum before I even come in. The problem that people have is, for whatever reason, Dak Prescott is not viewed as a franchise quarterback. But I challenge Cowboy fans. Do you remember Quincy Carter? Mm. Do you remember Chad Hutchinson? Mm. How about Drew Henson?
Why
How did you like those
fans,
days?
Bucky?
Because
Why
that's what the issue is.
That's the issue.
No. That's the issue.
NFL
is the issue.
Owners, no. NFL executives, they're the ones that have to pay that price.
The only team that has to pay is one, and that's Dallas. And so what
will
does
anybody
Dallas
anybody else?
It doesn't matter what anybody else will view him as.
Look.
Dallas has to have the quarterback. Dak Prescott is the best thing that they've had.
I'm fine with him playing out his deal this year and getting the exclusive franchise tag the year after. So now you're at 2 years for $36 million. That's a pretty good deal for Dallas, and it gives them 2 years of lifetime in pro football. We can see where he is. Now, the downside with that is the market's going to go up substantially. So if he's the quarterback they believe he is, with the upside they believe he has, they're going to pay significantly more.
Yep.
If they're not sure, they should definitely wait. In terms of his representative, starting with Carson Wentz is a very fair number. Dak has a better head-to-head record, a better divisional record. He's won a playoff game. He has better completion percentage. You go right on down the line.
Yep.
And I don't know how many times today I've heard he was in the MVP conversation. So was Derek Carr a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are we using – so he was in a conversation at one point during the season. So, therefore, he must – you know, somehow that's a transitive property that his upside is going to be there forever. Like, Derek Carr was in that conversation before he got hurt in Oakland a few years ago.
Hey.
But we're not talking about that. So, I get where his reps are coming from. But I'm also fine with the team saying, play out this year. We'll franchise you the year after. And we'll take our chances and see where it goes.
I love that plan. For the Dallas, I love that plan in terms of how you can stretch out the money. As you know, there will be a value tax if I prove to be a franchise player. Like, that's the floor is going to be like $40 million 2+ years from now in terms of Dak Prescott being a franchise quarterback. But Bucky is right, because this is the issue. You keep saying the owners are sitting there like, oh, should we pay him or not? But what's in that calculation is perception. If he had the same narrative, because he has better numbers, but we don't care about that. So if he had the same narrative story that a Carson Wentz has, he will already be paid. But there's no eagerness to go to that negotiation table, because you know the criticism and backlash is coming. How could you pay Dak Prescott that? And God forbid he goes out there and has an average season. Oh, my God, you get destroyed.
But why do we need that narrative? Brock Osweiler got paid. Jimmy Garoppolo got paid.
Right.
They didn't have anywhere near the body of work. There aren't that many quarterbacks.
How did Jimmy G get paid, Coach?
Well, look,
7-0 as a starter story. The team couldn't win a game. They won all the games. It's all story.
Which I totally get. But any owner can believe any story they want to. And you only need one to believe the narrative that you're selling. But there's a lot of guys that get paid way more money than they should because there's a scarcity at the position.
True.
So if you have a viable alternative, then I say, yeah, okay, this makes sense. If you have no viable alternative, it's hard to argue with what Dak's done.
It is hard to argue. And then when we talk about the other guys that you bring in the conversation, he brings in Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo got $27.5 million annually playing 7 games.
Yeah.
Derek Carr hasn't won significantly. He's in that number. Matthew Stafford. When we stack Dak Prescott against all these guys that are at the high end of the spectrum, Dak Prescott looks okay. And so the money is what the money is. And if the Cowboys were smart, they would have done the deal last year during the season.
Hey. I don't want to be accused of being sexist, so I'm going to spin this analogy.
Wow, what are you thinking
way.
Right
I'm
now?
I'm going to spin it a different way. Okay. I'm going to make it about the man rather than the woman.
Okay.
And again, it's about your market value. Dak doesn't have the arm. Again, that's what's hurting his market value. Jimmy Garoppolo got paid because he got the arm. It wasn't just the 7 wins. People felt he had the arm and the accuracy. And so it's like me. I can talk about my credit rating, my reliability, and all this. But when a dude shows up that's all yoked up, my market value goes down inside Wally's significantly. And Jimmy you can Jackson. Go in all the details about, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe Whitlock's credit score. And you wouldn't, his word is so good. And, my God, he goes to church and blah, blah, this, that, and the third. Mm. And it's like, nah, I want that dude that's yoked up.
Yeah, but
and Dak Prescott is not yoked. He needs.
I know where you're at.
He don't have that arm that makes people go, I'm going to pay a little extra for that. Mm. Carson Wentz has it. Jimmy Garoppolo has it or had it. Dak's never had that.
And look, you may not get approached by the best looking person in the bar.
Yeah.
But you may get approached by the second best looking woman in the bar or maybe one of the top 5, which is what we're talking about.
At a price that's reduced.
You may not be the best looking, but you still may be way better looking than a lot of the dudes in the bar.
Well, you know what? We're having conversations that are the division between do you want to be liked or do you want to be respected? Like is an easy, simple gratification. You walk in looking great, people going to like you. They ain't going to respect you. And Dak is like, I'm not with the first wave of like me and just take me home. He's like, no, marry me. And you know why you going to marry me? Because I do have the credit score. Because I do have the numbers. Because my completion percentage is better than Jimmy G's. And you have to look into this. And owners are smart enough to hire people who know this. But what's been lost is Dak can't win the conversation with the public. He just doesn't have the story.
It's owners he can't win it with.
No.
It's executives. They signed the checks.
It's really the public perception.
It's the
because
public
Coach,
perception.
Coach talked about, like, how are we judging quarterbacks? Whenever we talk about Tom Brady being the GOAT, it's because he has 6 rings. Yeah. So if we talk about winning, you know who has the second most wins behind Tom Brady?
Say it!
Dak Prescott.
Dak.
So what is it? So we don't want to talk about wins, but then we want to talk about the other stuff.
Look at this little magical word game you just played.
Oh. What?
You talked about 6 Super Bowls, and then you reduced it
to
regular season.
Let's go all the way back, because I think people forget about Tom Brady when Tom Brady entered the league.
Don't do this.
When Tom Brady entered the league with the Patriots were driven by their defense, their running game, and his job was to get the team to the winner's circle.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of his career, the team became a Tom Brady-driven team. Why can't Dak Prescott be on the same track?
Well, I was there when Tom Brady came in, and he wasn't very good at all. And then the first year, Brad Seeley and I used to have friendly wagers after practice. I had the DBs, he had the other guys, and it was, like $1 a pass. And there were a bunch of times where Tom missed wide-open receivers in the post-practice stuff. But what Tom had was traits. He had tremendous intangibles. So that first year he ends up playing, we scored 3 offensive touchdowns in the playoffs. And he only threw 1 of them.
Mm.
Okay, but he had traits and he continued to develop. So with a guy like Dak Prescott, you're saying this is what he's done for us, but he has those traits and we're betting that he's going to continue to develop to be the guy that we eventually want him
to be. All
right,
I'm going to be called sexist. You know what Super Bowl is? Breast implants. That's what they put on Tom Brady. And once that happened, it didn't matter that he wasn't that good. It doesn't matter. And so he had the body so that everybody's after.
But what were the other five Super Bowls? Is that like lipo and
took a rib out. He had to take a rib out.
What else did we add?
You got to hold on.
The whole night. He's got it all now.
Don't do that.
Dak doesn't have it. He doesn't have a Super Bowl early in his career like Brady does.
We get it.
He doesn't have the arm. He right now, Jerry Jones, dude, you just haven't hit your lottery ticket yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a year or two off. We're going to let you go out there and prove
it. But Jerry's smarter than that. I want you to know the dynamic is good cop, bad cop, Jerry, Steven. We get that. I also want to make sure we highlight his win percentage and who he's surrounded
credit
by.
Score. Since he's, credit score. Look, talking credit
since
score.
He's been in the league.
Not
look at these names. It's Brady. It's Prescott. It's Big Ben, Breeze, and Wilson. All Super Bowl winners. They got implants. Okay, I'll give you that. But guess what? He's right there in that conversation, and these dudes are making more in a week than he's made in his career.
And I totally
Come
get
on,
it.
Come on, man.
There are some indicators there that say he could take a team to a Super Bowl and develop into this intangible leader. There's some indicators there. But in order for somebody to press that button of $30 million, we need some stronger indicators.
But someone pressed the button on Carson Wentz, who's in the same draft class.
He's got the arm.
And when you put
He's
him
hurt.
When you put him head yeah, to right. head, he, when you put him head to head, Dak Prescott is better across
He's
the board.
He's got the arm.
He's hurt. We he never he doesn't
How good is an arm when
you
he's
have
not
to be
in the game?
Available.
It's a vanity league.
You have to be
it's
available.
Oh, yes.
What does that mean? What is a vanity
but it
league?
Looks yeah. like?
People love potential. Oh my God, this guy runs a 4-1-2. Are you kidding me? It doesn't matter he can't catch. He's gonna stretch the defense. People get caught. There's certain things that make people lose their mind. Oh my God, he's got
yeah,
a 48-inch vertical
lose their
jump.
Mind, and it also makes them lose their jobs. Like it's the same thing when you're Preach. When you're betting on vanity. Preach. When you're betting on vanity instead of substance, Preach. All that ends up happening is you win a press conference.
Thank you.
And then you go and you sell your house.
The man had you can count his 300-yard games on.
But that's not it. That's not how they play.
Yeah. What?
That's not how they play.
I get it.
That's fantasy football, 300-yard games. They run the ball. He has to make the plays necessary to win. They do that. Look at his fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives. He's at the upper end of that. He makes plays when they need him to make plays. There is something to be said for guys who have great management skills. Great management skills, great intangibles. Dak Prescott checks off a lot of boxes when it comes to being a winning quarterback.
You know what they call that? Settling.
No, they don't.
They call it settling. And you know what?
It's called lazy.
You know when women settle? In their 30s. Not right now. It's way too early to wave the white flag and settle for Dak Prescott.
Do some work. Like, don't be so lazy. Don't just call it in the first layer. Go into computation, not just conversation. You getting sold on that arm and... Because you're Jeff George, boy. So, you know, all you care about is, oh, man, he can throw it from end zone to end zone. And then he going to throw it to the other team more
Patrick
times.
Mahomes.
Patrick, oh, boy, don't do that.
Trust this.
Don't do
He's going to get his $40 million without any
Without an issue.
Any dispute. Eric Mangini and Bucky Brooks are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Antonio Brown, who just lost his grievance against the NFL over using his old helmet and showed back up at the Raiders facility today. John Gruden said he expects Brown to be ready for the season opener, but Brown still isn't done fighting over his helmet, looking to exploit a loophole in the NFL's ruling that would allow him to use the same type of helmet as long as it is less than 10 years old. Tweeting, quote, I'm looking for a Shut Air Advantage adult large helmet that was manufactured in 2010 or after. In exchange, I will trade a signed practice-worn Raiders helmet. Even if he gets the helmet, he still won't be able to practice because of the frostbite on his feet, something he addressed today.
Well, we're working with the NFL in regards to the helmet, and I'll be make sure I put on the right equipment-approved helmet, and I'll be ready to go.
Oh, well, I'm extremely grateful to be here. We're dealing with a lot of adversity. But, it's on the up and up on things, so I'm excited to be back and see my teammates. And get in the groove of things. I'm battling with a foot injury. You know, I see my face all over the news, all the talk. But these guys have been doing a good job with supporting me. I was grateful to hear them come out about it. And I'm excited to hear to just do my job.
All right. Eric Mangini and Jeff Fisher yesterday both indicated that maybe this helmet thing is just a distraction. Do you think AB really cares about this helmet deal?
Absolutely. I totally do. AB needs to put me on retainer as much as I'm defending him out there, too. God dang.
He's going full Johnny
Cochran. I'm going full AB. Never go full AB, but I am. Old adage, you know, if you believe something, put your money where your mouth is, right? He hired a lawyer. He went down this rabbit hole. He put his money where his mouth is because he actually believes it. And I told you the two issues. One is the vision bar of the new helmets. Some receivers have complained that, hey, when you turn around in a snap situation, sometimes you can't see the ball for that split second. That matters to a receiver, obviously, of his caliber. But also, the NFL lending itself and leaning into this rule that on its surface is a crock. And AB is like, look, let me highlight that in service of me keeping my own helmet. 2012, NFL's getting sued for head issues from all the players. We get it. 2014, they formed an alliance. NFL, NFLPA, we are the world. We're going to work on this together. 2016, you settle. All of a sudden, 2017, 18, hey, we're going to change these helmets. Guess what? You've been knowing this for about 3, 4, 5 years. And we're going to give you a transitional year. If you like your helmet, we'll let you stay in harm's way. Stay in the hazard zone for a year. If it was that damn hazardous, why are you going to let me have a year of potential brain injury? Huh? So AB sitting there, maybe not articulating this to the fullest, but that's why I'm on retainer. And then he's saying, wait a minute. I have to now give up this helmet that I've only had one head issue, one concussion. And that was an illegal hit from my teammate, Vontaze Burfict. Can y'all stop with this? And he's calling BS on it. So, yeah, he cares for many a reasons. And I'm sorry that people are not getting this, but once again, they're too lazy to go into those details.
Look, I think he cares about it to a point, but I don't think it should have been the issue that it's been. He was informed in the offseason that the helmet was going to be a deal. This should have been addressed back in March, in April. Equipment Man can get any helmet that you want. He could have gone to the manufacturer and had to make a special helmet that would fit all of the criteria that he wanted so he could see and all those other things when it came to the face mask. My issue with AB is when they bring him in and pay him the money that they paid him, they expect him to not only be the best player, they wanted him to have a level of leadership and be the worker. So he can talk about being a great worker and doing all those things on the field, but his behavior, it makes me worry because the culture that they're creating in Oakland, to me, is divided. When the draft, all character guys, guys from big programs, guys that love ball, all that other stuff. Free agency, Vontaze Burfict, they trade for AB. So now in the locker room, I don't know what they have. And when the moment of crisis happens, I don't know who is going to win out. The character guys, the young guys, or the older guys who've been known to splinter and have a level of dysfunction that follows them.
And Marcellus, I understand what you're saying about the fact that he put his money where his mouth is and he went and hired a lawyer. But typically when you hire a lawyer, it's so that that guy can go do the job. You don't have to leave your job in order to go fight that case. But he hired the lawyer and then he left camp. And look, it took a lot of attention off of his feet. And I'm sure that's an embarrassing situation. In terms of him in the locker room and him being a leader, they were hoping for leadership from his work ethic, from that part of it. But there's other elements that everybody knows AB has created some challenges in the past. Mm-hmm. But when you have a player of his ability, you're willing to deal with the 6 days of pain to get to the one day where he can be so special and change a lot of people's fortunes. Sure. In terms of where this locker room's going, it is gonna be mixed, and it'll probably be mixed short term, but John has done a good job in the past with challenging characters and getting the most out of them. So I think he'll be able to navigate through that.
The only thing I would say here, though, we've seen John go hardcore at Keyshawn Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's going pamper route with AB. And part of that is just by contract. They're on the hook for $30 million over the next 2 years. He stuck his neck out. He has to try to make the best of this. Do I think AB cares at all about this helmet? Not really. Because if he did, he would have handled it, like Bucky said, in February, March, April. This is a distraction. You ever get in an argument with your woman or whatever, and she's caught you doing something you ain't supposed to do, and the next thing you know, you say, remember when you charged up all that stuff, and I had to take a loan from mama and them to blah, 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 and you create a distraction. No, we're going to talk about what you did.
Yeah.
That's what AB's did. AB burned up his feet. Couldn't report, and so now he's got everybody talking about this helmet and helmet thing, and we're not talking about this dude burned up his feet and may have jeopardized his whole career. If I had done something that stupid, I would certainly create a distraction for somebody else something to talk about because it's embarrassing.
Coincidence, not correlation. Coincidence.
Darnell, did we miss anything?
Yeah, so Coach Gruden has been getting a lot of praise on social media over how he's handled all the noise around Antonio Brown. And after their win over the Rams a few days ago, he was asked about the helmet controversy. And Coach Gruden responded saying, the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. He has a strong feeling about what he's wearing on his head, and we're supporting him. So I want to ask you guys, do you like how Gruden's handled this situation?
I obviously don't. I think they're pampering him.
I love it. One, what's the alternative? I mean, just pour salt all on them and then say, oh, welcome back to them.
Huh? The child.
No, 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 no. As a coach, you got to have multiple personalities. You got to give the complexion that, look, I may lose some of my selfish desires for a greater good, which is the team's win. You could dog curse them when you're in your private home and wherever you are in closed doors. But you need to make sure this guy feels welcome until you can at least get your hands around him and understand who he is.
Yeah, you just got to make this work until you get to those games. And that's what he's doing. He's right. He's going to make the best of it until he can get to Sunday.
Let me ask you something.
And hope for that upside.
What would Belichick do?
Oh, look, different families have different rules and different ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And that family, they operate
the
there. What's that?
You spare the rod.
You probably you wouldn't get to the table. You wouldn't be part of the family.
You wouldn't be at Rob's rich.
Yeah.
I understand why he's coming out trying to support his player, but I do want it because at some point he's gonna have to take a hard line stance. If not, it's only going to escalate and you have more problems with AB.
Joined now by Brian Banks, whose story has inspired a new feature film. Brian, for those that don't know, you spent 5 years in prison for a rape that you did not commit. You were falsely accused. You were headed to USC, perhaps on a football scholarship, and perhaps even to the NFL.
Yeah.
I reread your story this morning. I remember it when it first came to light, but I reread it this morning, and I was so emotional just reading the facts of the case. And the first thing I thought was like, how are you not consumed by bitterness having gone through that level of injustice?
Yeah, I've been there. You know, I lived it. You know, people that hear my story, they hear it for the first time and, you know, you're enraged. This is something that I've been dealing with for years now. And throughout those years, you get to a point in time where you just don't want to be angry anymore. You don't want to be upset. You want to find some form of a closure. And once I realized that having this negative energy and feeling this way and living that way was only adding to the destruction of me, I had to make a change for myself.
That sounds exactly like years ago I interviewed Hurricane Reuben Carter.
Yeah, man.
Did you know his story? Did that inspire you in any way?
Yeah, I actually saw that movie while I was incarcerated. It was crazy just to hear his story, what he went through for so long. And then just like me, received some help from people who just believed in him, believed in his story, and then what he's done since then, the advocacy for furthering the awareness of that fight against wrongful conviction. I feel like in some ways I'm like trying to be on the same steps as him.
Now, how do you deal with the reality that your accuser, false allegations, but never going to suffer any repercussions?
You know what, that used to be a thought of mine, but I think where I am now is just, no one deserves that much power over your life to where you can't, you know, move past a situation or you're still stuck in the past knowing that there's so much for you in the future. You know, there's a statute of limitation of 8 years where after 8 years you can't go after somebody for perjury. So if that is what the law is, then I can only go as far as I can go as far as, you know, making something happen. But honestly, I really don't give too much thought about that.
What about the emotional what ifs? I'm going to be real with you, man. Reading your story and hearing about you, you played with some guys that I've actually played against.
Yeah.
You are a better prospect by me by far. Long Beach Poly, one of the top linebackers in the nation. There are guys who weren't in this situation who are consumed with the what ifs.
Yeah.
Like, how are you dealing with that emotion?
Yeah, I mean, you could always sit and think about the what ifs, what shoulda, what coulda. I like to think more about the now and where I am. You know, if it wasn't supposed to happen, it simply would not have happened, what I went through. But it did happen. So I think the question becomes more about, not more so of what happened, but what am I going to do about what happened? And so for me, the focus just has been, what can I do today to live the best life that I can live and not really focus on the things that I missed out on? Don't get me wrong, I do miss it. I still want to play, but you know, it is what it is.
Brian, one of the things that shook me the most, and I just want clarity if this is accurate, and because I think it's portrayed in the movie, the false accuser, she was a 16, 17-year-old girl like yourself, but she reached out to you after you via Facebook after you got out of jail. That was so shocking, the audacity of it. When you get an email from her over Facebook, what are you thinking? What are you feeling?
I didn't think it was her. I thought somebody made up this fake account, was trying to like play some kind of sick joke. I remember slamming the laptop down and just kind of having this out-of-body experience, not really sure what I just saw. And, you know, I had to really figure out if it was her or not. So I'd ask, would you mind calling me at this number? And sure enough, my phone rang. I answered the phone and it was her.
And then so when she confesses to you in person that she made this up, why did she have a guilty conscience? Why did she,
I still don't know. That's a question that I still do not have an answer to. Every time that I did ask or inquired about it, the finger was always pointed at somebody else, never taking the responsibility of the lie itself.
Now, walking into this movie theater, our viewers, myself, did they get it right? Did they portray Brian Banks accurately?
Yeah, it's an accurate portrayal of real life events, and it's in an unlinear form, so it's kind of, you know, it takes off where I'm on parole and I'm living as a registered sex offender and having all of these difficulties of life, and then it kind of goes back and forth from where I've been to show you how I got to where I was and now what I'm doing to get myself free. So a lot of the events that are shown in there are true and accurate, but also, you know, it's Hollywood, so they got to throw a little bit of the spice in there to kind of you know, bring people in.
What are you doing today? I know you had a job with the NFL, Roger Goodell, and those guys. You walked away from that. How come? What are you doing today?
Yeah, I wouldn't like to say I walked away from it. I think that just some really amazing opportunities popped up after the commissioner gave me an opportunity to work for the NFL in New York. I then got an offer to go film a TV show that furthered the fight against wrongful conviction called Final Appeal. And then right after Final Appeal, I went right into filming this movie in 2017. And then ever since then, I've been focused on traveling, doing my speaking engagements, talking to different audiences and crowds, as well as promoting the film. I just wrote my book, What Set Me Free, that just came out. It's in stores everywhere. So just kind of allowing life to take its course, and wherever my lane takes me, I'm just going with it.
Allow me to be the sappy journalist right now, man. I've heard this posed, this question a lot of times and out of context, and certainly not with people I truly cared about their answer. But you, Brian Banks, a letter to your younger self, the Brian Banks at Long Beach Poly before this moment.
What would I say? Stay in class. I would say stay in class, be patient, don't be in a rush to be an adult. You got a lot of amazing things right here in front of you. Focus on the now, and everything else is just mere distraction. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Stay in class.
That's a letter to yourself, and I would imagine that's the same message you're giving to young people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I what happened to me is unacceptable. I should have not gone through what I went through. But was I in the wrong place at the wrong time? Yes, and I'm one of the ones to admit that right away. Doesn't mean that I deserve what had happened to me, but how we can eliminate things from happening, you know, if we give more thought to that than a lot of stuff that we go through in life, we probably would never experience.
I just want to ask you this, since you've made a movie. There's a lot of rumors there'll be a movie about me one day.
Boy, stop.
Go ahead.
Idris Elba, don't you think he should play me?
I think he's busy. How's his show just released?
Yeah, he got a full deck. He got a schedule.
He's DJing everywhere. I don't know if we got time for the Whitlock.
Brian, man, thank you.
Man,
so much.
Respect.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it, man.
You
thank
are you, a blessing. You and your life are a blessing from God.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Joined now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away.
Yeah, so let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. He continues to stir it up on social media. Yesterday, he posted this half-naked picture on this IG that apparently got the internet trolls questioning his sexuality. Odell actually decided to respond to the troll, saying, quote, I'm straight, like beyond it. If I sit here and defend myself, y'all gonna say, I'm trying to defend myself. If I sit there and say nothing, y'all gonna say, see, he didn't say anything. I'm good with me, which is dumb straight, period. So guys, I want to ask you, do you like Odell responding to trolls questioning his sexuality?
No. I think he's drawing more attention to this and to himself. I think Odell is addicted to attention. I think the only reason why you respond is because you want more attention, and so you're actually good with the question.
Wow, you broke that down too. I want you also, it's so funny, just go home when you rewatch this segment when it first came up, the picture came up, you said, and that was kind of funny. real appropriate for this, but let me say this, and you weren't even thinking about it. Odell, look, bruh. Who are you talking to? Like, okay, it's one thing to defend yourself, but I need you to offend others and really just call them out for what they are. He tried to do this. I think he did a good job, but not a great job. I would never respond to this at all. Like, if I'm straight, I'm in the bed with the people I want to be in the bed with, I'm good. If I'm not, I'm still in the bed with the people I want to be with. Who cares if you're not in the bed? But if you're gay coming to Odell Beckham, we all in the same game, so you ain't tripping. If you're not gay, why are you tripping? Like, you're not gay. You don't want me, or do you? So sometimes you gotta, like, just put the mirror up. It ain't even a pushback. Just show them where they are, because they coming at you for no reason.
You know what? I don't have a problem with them clapping back. And the reason why is because anytime you look at your feed, sometimes you just want to say something to somebody. You don't have to respond to everybody, but you're looking at some of them, and then you're like, man, I should... Man, if you saw me face to face, you would never say anything like this. Now, all of a sudden, you're questioning who I am and what I'm about. Sometimes you have to say something just to make yourself feel better. Period. Has nothing to do with him wanting more attention, because I don't believe he wants more attention based on him responding to what everybody's saying. No, but you got to know that posting the picture is going to draw attention.
So that's not for attention.
I'm not saying that the photo wasn't for attention, but you then said responding is for additional attention. I disagree.
Yeah, it's like a steak. You put it out there because you're hungry. Then you put seasoning on it because you want it to taste better. And so the picture is the steak. The response is the seasoning. It's all off the same tree. Well, he wants attention.
Well, I wouldn't go there, Whitlock, because one, this is an ad, and part of your promotion with any ad is like, we need some Instagram posts, whatever. He puts that out because that's the ad. Beyond that, though, there are two things that are really of conflict for me. One, your self-worth does not get, like, you can't cross that threshold to impact my self-worth based on my timeline. So I don't have to respond to anybody.
Right.
I don't. Need it. I don't even care to respond to you. I don't know you, so you don't matter that much. Let me just let y'all know. You're a follower to me. And if you don't like me, don't follow me. That's how I get down. Odell doesn't. Respect to him. He got more followers than me. But two, sexuality is a deep part of someone's identity. So I can understand where that button gets pushed, where it's like, y'all keep questioning my sexuality, which is a deep part of who I think I am. So he's kind of caught up in between those two worlds, but... To keep trying to justify who you are when you are that always makes me question, what's wrong? Like, are you not certain and sure and comfortable in just what you are? Why extras without?
Before you jump, or if you want to jump, I just let's be clear what an ad is. It's seeking attention. It's an advertisement.
And monetary compensation.
Yeah, I know, but it's
no doubt about it.
That thing is on Times Square, man. It's seeking attention.
Okay.
Advertisement wants attention.
Yeah.
When you're Odell Beckham Jr. or any NFL player that's made a significant sum of money, you have some control on how Calvin Klein or whomever put you out there. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, when they said, we're going to have you in front of a mirror holding a phone like a thirsty IG model. Again, that's for attention. You can't, I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to do that. Don't put me in the same, because again, that's what's drawing the conversation in people, is that they're saying, this is the pose of an IG model. That's what is making people question
the phone? Because Mark Wahlberg, Justin Bieber, many come to mind, they did the same thing. They're not black. Are we going into black homophobic attitudes?
No, I agree with you. Like, the ad portion of it, the photo in and of itself is going to draw attention. He knew that.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew
the response.
That
yeah.
The response was going to be like this.
Right. And I'm saying that ad, whether it's Mark Wahlberg posing that way or anybody, is done to somewhat provoke people to talk about your sexuality.
I can agree with that.
I don't, because I don't remember the conversations. Certainly, Odell's had this conversation
Mark
about
Wahlberg
his sexuality before.
Is not in the sports world, but go ahead.
No, Mark Wahlberg, Justin Bieber. Look, people have done this exact same ad, but now they've made it obviously appropriate to these millennials and put the phone and blah, blah, blah. But the conversation with Odell is a little tricky because he's addressed this before, his sexuality.
I guarantee you, so is Justin Bieber. It's just not as loud. I guarantee you those questions are out there about Bieber. It's just not as loud. Before we go further, I'd like to elaborate on why I'm so bothered by Antonio Brown's irrational behavior in Oakland. Exhibit AB is why ownership should never give football players guaranteed contracts. You can't trust them. That lack of trust doesn't directly point to a character flaw in football players, although Antonio Brown has many character flaws. The lack of trust stems most directly from the difficulty of the game, the physical toll it takes on your body, and the authoritarian culture pervasive within the game. The Tom Brady's and Ray Lewis's of the football world are rare. Men who can earn millions of dollars, ignore their egos, submit their wills, and still love football past the age of 30. Football is the ultimate child's game. Love for playing, it dissipates drastically as we age. Antonio Brown no longer loves football. He plays the game solely for what the game can do for his bank account. He proved his greatness in Pittsburgh. His remaining years in the NFL are about earning as much money as possible for as little work as possible. We've seen this before. Defensive tackle Albert Haynesworth comes to mind. In 2007 and 2008, Haynesworth was nearly unstoppable in the interior of the Tennessee Titans defensive line. He was first team All-Pro in back-to-back seasons. The Redskins lured the 27-year-old Haynesworth to Washington with a 7-year, $100 million contract. Haynesworth never broke a sweat again. He was out of the league by age 30. My bet is Antonio Brown has 2 years left in the NFL. He wants to collect the $30 million the Raiders owe him the next two seasons, and then he's done. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is, what's he willing to give over the next two seasons to earn that $30 million? It'll be a lot less than what he gave in Pittsburgh. Brown is uninterested in learning John Gruden's complex playbook. That's why he hasn't been in training camp. It's not just his frostbitten feet, it's Gruden's offensive scheme. Beneath the Chucky bluster, Gruden is an old school football coach who loves third and four. The whole playbook is open on third and four. You can run or pass. You can play action pass and hit your favorite receiver on a short curl or a slant over the middle. Antonio Brown's days of catching the ball over the middle in the Vontaze Burfict playland ended in Pittsburgh. AB ain't about that protocol life no more. He reminds me of my boys from Kansas City, Scatterman and Snug Brim.
Whoa.
They wrote a song about Brown years ago. Sucka Duckers. Training camp practice, going over the middle, new helmets. That's for suckers. And AB got his Sucka Duckers on. All right, join us once again, Bucky Brooks and Greg Jennings. Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Why?
Is the AB saga proof owners should avoid giving out guaranteed contracts?
AB's not proof of that. Ooh. But you are on to something in terms of this guaranteed contract for football players. Maybe not the smartest idea. And I know I don't sound like a company man, but I've been saying this since I was a player. And it's because of the nature of the beast, which is football. Let's just be real about this. Let's not lie up here. And one, there are two different footballs. I played in the trenches. Let me tell you, I played running back my entire life, and then I had to go into them trenches because I outgrew the position. Trust me. Being a skilled player like you guys are, respect, and I've been there. But in them trenches, it's a whole different animal. He's out there with the skilled players, but it's still hell to pay. This is what I think football is to me if I had to tell my son once he gets to age where he may want to play. When you're 8 years old and you show up at the Pop Warner game and you play with these new kids that have become like your brothers, and y'all even take off the pads after the game and go play another game right behind the stadium because it's like fun. You don't even know if you have a screw or not. Then you get to high school and college, and you start grinding, start making it, and it starts hurting. Then you realize, I do have a screw, and it's loose. I'm different, right? And then you get in the league, and then all of a sudden you realize it's time to tighten that screw a little bit. Let me be a little bit smarter about this. I'm not going to take all the same risks, and not going to take all the same adventures. And then what happens is not your love for the game dissipates. It's the fact that your enthusiasm to run through that next wall, that may take a hit. So when you're talking about AB, he's not proof of that. AB has not shown me one sign that he is not ready to go across that middle. He's not shown me one side of alligator arms. But I do understand the nature of football. What retires guys is the process of the next wall in front of me. I don't know if I'm going to prepare with the same intensity and joy to get back to that level. And then you start thinking next. AB's no proof of that, but it does exist.
It changes, man. I can imagine. I think I can equate it to boxers in the ring once they become the champion and they start getting paid. Those licks are different. And so after you, kind of as AB has been alleged, start checking your bank account in the meeting room, it's hard to always gear up to say, hey, man, I really need this. I got to go over the middle. I have to do all this other stuff. So it does change. Now, in terms of the guaranteed money, look, man, as long as you can keep people humble and hungry, they're going to play for you. Mm-hmm. You really have to know the character of the person before you write the check. Do they really, really love it? Do they love the competition? Do they love the process as you speak to it? Those guys who love it, you can write the big checks. Those other guys, you got to keep them on those year-to-year prove-it deals for as long as you can to make them show up.
You're using an S at the end of loves. I think with AB, it's D, loved. He used to love the game, not anymore. That's my point. Mm.
I completely disagree with everything you wrote. Everything you wrote.
All of it.
All of it.
Punctuation, all everything. I mean,
because what you're implying is that AB represents the entire league that gets, the entire player that gets paid. And that is so false. Every player is not like that. Mm-hmm. Every player, when you pay him, most players, and you guys can attest to that, you feel like, I gotta make sure that I earn this check now.
Yep.
I already earned it, mind you, but now that I got it, I know that spotlight, that light is on me now, it's shining a little brighter, so I gotta even elevate my level of play even more. Yep. But then, to say that you shouldn't guarantee contracts, I disagree with that. When you use the word for me that it separates those who should get the guarantees and those who shouldn't. The level of competitiveness in a guy. You, after being around a guy for so long, you start to know who's gonna work regardless, despite the check. I totally get it. Things change once you get paid. But guys like Larry Fitzgerald, you tell him that. No, you can give him as much money as you want. He's gonna approach it the same way every single week, every single day at practice. And for Antonio Brown, all of the outside noise and chatter that he has going on, I don't care what you say, it does not impact him on that football field. He works as hard as anyone in the business, and we see it on his Instagram along with all of the other things, and John Gruden recognizes it, everyone around him recognizes it, and you know you see it as well.
Yeah,
just don't like the way he handled it.
Look, if you check my Instagram, you think I ate at vegan restaurants most of the time. You can make Instagram say anything you want.
You sure can.
Greg, to a lot of what you said, I agree with. Because, again, Tom Brady, the Larry Fitzgeralds, yourself, others, I get it. They have a drive for the game. But all of this new extra money and a guy sitting in meeting rooms checking his bank account, I'm making a prediction here about AB moving forward and why the Pittsburgh Steelers were good. Third-round pick, you can have him. Is because it to me, all the indicators, from burning up his feet to showing up in a hot air balloon to missing out because of his helmet, all the indicators say, oh, we got Albert Haynesworth 2.0 right
now.
Not at all. One, in the spirit of trying to do more and be better, he burned up his feet.
Allegedly. Look, you act like you were there.
Damn, I have been there before. I've been when they said, look, if you do this type of therapy for 10 minutes, you'll be fine. You're like, what if I did 12? What if I did 15? What if I took this off? Would I get all of this? Yeah, I've been in that mindset. I haven't been to France with him in cryotherapy. Yeah. I will say that what you're talking about, Greg's right. You're trying to blanket it And all I'm saying is the nature of any combat sport, sooner or later, those hits feel different.
Yes.
What did they say? Here's the quote. It's real hard to get up at 5 in the morning and run 5 miles when you're four-post bed wearing silk pajamas. Marvin Hagler said it, right?
Yeah.
I know. But guess what? Greg is right. In sports, once you make money, oh, I got to really go get
yes.
this now. Because, one, you fed something that's been hungry forever. And this is not enough. AB is not in that conversation, a general sport conversation we could have.
So from a management standpoint, what you're always doing is, like, people are who they are prior to getting money. When you give them money, those other things just come to the surface. So when we talk about examining the player, you really got to know, does he really, really love it? Is he a worker? Is he going to do all of those things? When we talk about Tom Brady, man, Tom Brady probably has as much money as anyone can think about. His wife is loaded, all those other things. Tom Brady loves the process. When you watch his Facebook story and you see this guy doing all the little stuff to be the player that he is, man, he's going to be that way whether he had money or not. You really have to know who the person is that you're writing the check and you're about to hand over the check to. So with AB, whatever issues he had before he became paid, those things have just been brought to the surface.
Can I bring another layer to this conversation? Because, I love Tom Brady. He could be the GOAT. Quarterbacks, kickers, punters are not in my conversation.
I'm with you on that.
Dog, one, they go through a completely different process. Dudes is like 38. Like, they could play forever. And they wear different color jerseys when we're at practice going to hell. And half of them get there after we already at practice.
I referenced Ray Lewis. He referenced Larry Fitzgerald. There's other guys.
Now, Ray Lewis, now we're talking.
AB is not that guy, in my opinion.
Why? When you say he's not that guy, what is he showing you on
burnt feet?
On game day?
Just left training
so
camp
for no damn reason. He shows you burnt
feet. That's not a reason.
He shows you the
Pittsburgh Steelers just said adios for a third-round pick.
See, you're going to highlight all those things.
He skipped the Saturday before the Pittsburgh
But how many receivers you taking over AB for production?
Now. For production, yeah, but the
what do you mean? What else is there?
Greg,
what dinner?
Understand? I just want you, everybody, to understand this. I'm trying to be ahead, and again, when it all plays out, and AB's garbage this year, or he takes a step back, it'll be easy for everybody to say, "Oh yeah, you said." I'm trying to be ahead of the conversation. That's the job. And so it's just a prediction. I may be wrong. AB may go out there and just ball out of control. I feel very
Hey, you know
confident.
What?
I feel very confident right
well,
now.
Well, you should feel very confident.
You look
and talk
very
to Derek Carr on that. Because if AB ain't balling, trust me, it ain't going to
be
AB.
It's somebody else's fault.
Damn right.
The man right now is going to miss all the training camp, but no blame for him.
No, he could take some blame, but that
no
his primary focus is
you
not
have,
him.
You have to prepare for John Gruden's offense. We just heard Jeff Fisher say it's one of the most complex offenses in the
true,
league.
True.
This AB just skipped out.
He's in meetings.
They got iPads at the crib. Account.
This is what bothers me about this.
Get him.
Because he's been there all training, all off season.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about Odell Beckham wasn't in Cleveland, and we were talking about he should be there. It's a new head coach. It's a new system. It's a new dynamic for him all the way around. The same thing for Antonio Brown, but he was there. And then what transpired with him trying to recover, like everyone does, he burned his feet up. In cryotherapy.
Which OBJ didn't
do. I guarantee it wasn't something that was intentionally done, or he would be on the football field right now.
Let me tell you about football and about sport.
Oh.
They don't care about, his intentions weren't to do this. They only care about the results. And the results are
the man's
not available.
He produces.
No.
Those are the results.
Hello.
You're talking about the past. We're having an argument about what do we think is going to happen
as last seen in a football uniform.
It's about what have you done for me lately?
Nothing wrong. Nothing.
What have you done for me lately? He gets it done, flat out.
The last time we saw him, his feet were propped up on an IG post with him burned up and he couldn't practice. That's the last time I saw AB.
The last game, he didn't play. He didn't play in Pittsburgh the last
game. That's true.
He didn't play.
Come on.
He took the week off. Yeah, he didn't show up. I mean, he is what he is. Like, I mean, let's just be honest. Let's be real. Like, there are some things, some red flags that
I'm
you have to
I'm not saying
worry
that
about.
There aren't any red
when
flags.
When it comes to it now.
I'm not at all trying
and
to
saying
say that.
All of that, I saw John Gruden script Tim Brown and Jerry Rice to the point where they were able to get 1 million catches. So he's going to get his catches.
Right.
He's going to get his yards. However, there are some things to be worried about when it comes to his experience in Oakland.
I'm telling you, I was told this by somebody that would know. This offense is not the lifestyle AB wants to live. Tim Brown, Jay Wright, these guys, third and four, they came across the middle, took them hits, made the catches. AB's not about that life. It's going to be very interesting if he wants to deal with that with all that money in the bank account. He's not about that life.
No, I'm mad at you right
now.
Suck a duck. Suck
a duck. Man is no friend. Suck a duck. Eric Mangini's back with us. Let's move to New York, where rookie quarterback Daniel Jones' solid performance in the preseason debut had a lot of Giants fans getting excited about this year, but they might want to pump the brakes after hearing what Giants owner John Morris said when asked how he'd like this season to unfold.
Ideally, how would you like it to unfold for this season to be on?
I hope Eli has a great year and Daniel never sees the field. I mean, that would be in an ideal world that you'd like to see that. So. But again, it's at the end of the day, it's going to be a decision by the head coach as to when, you know, or if Daniel ends up playing this year.
Is that really, I mean, you would, I mean, obviously you want the team to win a lot of games and make the playoffs, but if Daniel doesn't play one snap as a rookie, you'd be okay with that?
I'd be very happy about that because it means that we're having a great year and Eli's having a great year.
I don't like this.
Don't?
No.
Wow.
They got a rookie quarterback that they spent a 6-round pick on. I want him out on the field.
Well, that's first round, number 6 overall. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, yeah.
That's a 6 pick. Yeah, the 6th pick in the draft.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I love it. One, he caught himself because he was like, oh, let me remind you, I'm an owner. I love this. Eli Manning is bankable. And you know what's even more bankable than Eli? Hope. Oh, the guy who could come and save the day whenever that day may be. Meanwhile, you're winning in both columns. This is a smart play by him because, one, he takes the attention away in case Eli does make it through this year because people like you are like, you spent a 6th pick overall for this guy. Go get him out there. He's like, from the top down, there's no pressure to put this kid in. But it's on the coaches. Also, in terms of if that decision is made, it's going to come from those who are closest to him on a day-to-day basis. I think that was the best way to play it financially and also in terms of the story as the fans receive this.
Yeah, he's absolutely 100% correct in saying this, and that is the perfect world. If Eli is playing well and they don't have to put Daniel in, that's fantastic. They're paying Eli $23 million. It means that they're having a certain level of success. They're in the playoff hunt. And to me, what more could you ask for than having your high pick, be able to sit and learn behind someone like Eli, who everybody agrees is a good person, has the potential to be a great mentor, and allow him to see what it's like to play without being thrown into the fire.
Let's deal with reality. Eli's done. I mean, he's got nothing left to offer a playoff team. So this, what he's done is he set a standard to me where, man, Eli, if we get to 7-9 with Eli and Daniel doesn't play, that's great. He's taking all the pressure because this whole thing of Eli can hold on to his job only if they're in the playoff hunt, I'm not sure based on this comment. The owner just said he doesn't care. He wants Eli to play every snap, and if Daniel Jones does nothing, he's good with it. I would have said I want the Giants to be successful, and I want our head coach and the coaching staff to make the right decision at quarterback. He has two wonderful options. An experienced guy that we're paying, and a young guy that may be the bridge to the future.
Well, one, Eli's not done. At what level is the conversation? He had his highest completion percentage last year in his entire career. So in terms of accuracy.
Everybody is in the new league.
I wish everybody, because everybody would be doing great at that position. But I understand what you're saying is skewing that way. Two, don't forget who Daniel Jones is. The guy who was coming out before the 5-play drive last weekend. Who needed seasoning, who needed time, who needed reps, who needed the tutelage and understanding from a guy like Eli. Like, we can't lose sight of that because he had one great drive, guys. Like, you still need to keep this guy in tow, but let Eli lead the way.
And perspective. It wasn't even one great drive. It was it was one drive in the first preseason game.
It was awesome.
Where there is absolutely zero defensive game planning. Phenomenal. There's very little offensive game planning.
Put a gold jacket on.
Yeah. And I've been at this test with you. I know that's what where we're headed with
him.
He's
ready.
And look, the question was, do you want Daniel to play, or are you going to be happy with Eli playing the whole year? Of course you are. If he's playing the whole year, things are going well for the Giants. And what more could you ask for as an owner than things are going well and the guy you're paying $23 million is doing what he's supposed to do?
Didn't you just have some coaches try to bench Eli last year?
Oh, yeah.
And so you've just given Eli more leverage. Did you just hear what the owner said? The owner would like for me to play every freaking snap. And he didn't really put any stipulations on it. He thinks if Eli's playing every snap, that means we're in the playoff hunt. But I didn't hear no stipulation of that had to be the standard. I just think this is – Eli doesn't – nobody in the NFL wants to do all that preparation and not play. Eli does not want to come up on the lineup and be a mentor to anybody. Why give this dude some more leverage? Put some pressure on Eli. You've done everything you could for him. The guy's won two Super Bowls. You've paid him a lot of money. Put some pressure on him here at the end. Make this guy go out and perform to keep his job from Daniel Jones rather than gifted it to him from the ownership. We want him to play every snap. See how good that works out there. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about Dak Prescott.
You know, just right. A small time.
You got any
let's go ahead and get to this big dummy of the day, man, because I thought I was going crazy. Did you say that there's a movie coming out and your part is going to be played by Stringer Bell?
Yeah. Idris Elba.
Yes, Idris Elba? Right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so let me guess. Your love interest is going to be Precious, and that's going to be played by Mae Dessa, right? Yeah, she already done called me about that. You in trouble, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, here's a highlight from our discussion earlier.
Got somebody in your weight class.
Yeah, exactly. Morgan Freeman.
Make Dak play this season under his existing contract. The worst thing that could happen is Dak has a phenomenal season and his market significantly escalates and the Cowboys are forced to pay him $36 to $38 million a year.
Plan A should be walk up to Dak Prescott, say, look, I'm going to give you a dollar more than Carson Wentz. We happy? We settle? This over?
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Done.
I think they should play hardball with Dak Prescott. He needs to take less money so Zeke and everybody else can eat. Your thoughts?
Look here, man. I'm going to give it to you straight, no chase, no lace. Never have been, never will be a Dakery Fitzgerald Prescott fan.
Gotcha. Okay.
And every time I talk about Dakery Fitzgerald Prescott, I'm going to reference the movie Glory. You know why? Because just like in the movie Glory, they just wanted to win, sir. Just like Dak. Okay? Yeah. So I'm trying to tell you, Dak will be remembered far more as a Civil War hero than he will be as a quarterback in the NFL.
Man,
folks. Okay? You agree with me?
Look at me. Let me tell you what. I don't agree with you about nothing. All right? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I do agree. I do agree that you want some shenanigans. Every time we talk about Dak, I notice you always try to swing around. You trying to make this Dak thing about my contract negotiation. You keep on with this.
Yeah.
Need to take less to do more for the team.
Mm. Yeah.
Jim, how are we going to be able to afford Darnell's T-shirts? Hey, man, let me tell you something. Darn you, darn Darnell, and darn them damn T-shirts. How about that? Hey, you and Darnell both gaining weight. Uncle Jimmy losing weight. What the hell wrong with this picture, man?
I'm not sure.
And I'm gonna tell you
that.
What, yeah. I ain't gonna keep falling for the old banana in the tailpipe anymore either. Hey, I'm with Dak. Dak, go get your money, man. You know? Hey, everybody been talking about Dak, telling Jerry Jones telling Dak, if you think you lonely now. Let me tell y'all something. Mm. I know Dak. I know the boy. I know the boy's family. Hey, Marcus, I play Twister with his sister, okay?
Oh, man.
I know the boy, okay? I know what's in the boy's playlist. And I know for a fact, Dak Prescott is a big Bon Jovi fan.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And if Jerry Jones ain't careful, Jerry Jones will be out here living on a prayer. Huh? Hey, and Dak ain't gonna never get signed. He ain't gonna never get signed. Because every time he walk in, he gonna talk about, I'm a cowboy. On a steel horse I ride. I'm a cowboy. I'll be one till I'm dead or alive. And you know what? Because y'all been, look, y'all know Dak is sensitive. You know, that Dak sitting up here like, what he saying, man? I've been there for you. These 3 years I played for you. When you breathe, I was the air for you. Dak's been there for you. Jerry.
I didn't know you was up on
that.
That's pretty good. All right. Lux, my approval rating for Dak is a 63 role player. He drops 3 points. Love Bon Jovi.
Love Bon Jovi.
Love Bon Jovi.
They still got that arena team? All right. Dak go there.
That's it.
Oh, man. Y'all got it. Woo. They got them down low. Yeah, I'm with you right there. I ain't gonna lie.
A 6 is pretty low.
I ain't that low.
People online got him at a dumpster fire, 45%.
I ain't that low. I'm more scout team, 58. I'm leave that alone.
I'm impressed, Uncle Jimmy, with the Bon Jovi reference. All right, we'll be back tomorrow.
I'm losing weight.